Welcome to the VAT update for March 2015, and in this month we've got four items, the first of which is very common as it concerns whether or not a sandwich bar run by Bagel Nash Limited could zero rate food that it was issuing to customers who were not going to eat it in Bagel Nash's premises but were going to eat it in a food court in front of Bagel Nash. Now, with the standard rate of VAT at 20%, the difference, if zero rating applies, makes a very commercial and competitive advantage if you can get the benefit of VATA 94, Schedule 8 Group 1, and zero rating for food. But of course, if you're catering, then you can't get that zero rating. And this case concerned Bagel Nash Limited seeking to recover £118,000 for some earlier years. Now, the company operated a kiosk which faced on to a food court where there was seating area, but ordinary people passing by could sit down in that food court area and eat their own sandwiches, and equally other premises within the food court area shared the communal seating arrangements out in the area. So when the company made a repayment claim saying it had mistakenly been charging VAT, HMRC refused the claim on the basis that the food was consumed on the premises, even though this food court area did not belong to Bagel Nash Limited and they'd no rights for exclusive use. Reading this case is quite painful because I think that it was badly presented and that the company fell far short of bringing forward the evidence it needed to establish its position. They seemed to rely on the fact that next door there was a pret-a-manger which was able to zero rate the supply of sandwiches, and they produced an invoice proving that. But really what they should have been doing was gathering evidence about the number of customers who took their sandwiches away, in which case it would be proper to zero rate it. Now, this company had 13 other outlets, and at those other outlets, customers were asked whether they were going to eat in or take it away. But at this particular outlet, there was no prospect of the customer eating in, as it was a kiosk and there was no place available to the business that they could exclusively let their customers eat. On the balance of probability, the vast majority of customers would probably consume their bagel very close to the outlet. And HMRC argued that for this purposes, the premises had to include the food court. Therefore, the supply was one of catering, and it was proper for the company to charge standard rate VAT. It makes an interesting read, and as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes. The European Commission has taken infringement proceedings against France and Luxembourg in respect of downloadable digital e-books. Luxembourg applied a 3% reduced rate and France 5.5%, and it's gone straight to the European Court, and they have found in favour of the Commission that both countries were guilty of infringement of the underlying principles. In 2005, the Krejčík case came as a surprise to a lot of people, myself included, because it decided that where shares were being issued to expand funding for a business, then it was possible to recover the input tax on related expenditures such as legal and accounting fees. In Perenco Holdings, the company was making a Fleming type claim to recover VAT on 8 share issues between 1984 and 1989. And the case is really about where the burden of proof lies, because as is common in so many of the Fleming cases, there's a lack of evidence both on HMRC's side and the taxpayer's side about exactly what happened in these years, which are in this case nearly 20 years ago. So the taxpayer was fully taxable, and it had made 8 share issues, but there was no doubt that some of the issues had been to overseas people, and it was therefore likely that at the time the input tax on shares issued to an overseas subscriber would have been recovered. In principle, the onus began with the company needing to satisfy HMRC that it had a legitimate claim for input tax which had not been recovered, but as soon as it put forward a reasonable case, the onus shifted to HMRC to show that there had been a recovery of tax. And the tribunal then examined the 8 share issues that had occurred in the period and concluded that in 3 out of the 8 it was likely that the company had not recovered input tax, and that therefore there was an unquantified right, but a right in principle, to recover input tax in relation to these share issues. The company had argued that the absence of any evidence about frequent control visits must indicate that they had not put in substantial claims for the fees associated with the share issues, but the tribunal actually ruled that the absence of evidence about the frequency of control visits and the absence of detail in the officer's note of the visit did not mean that visits had not occurred or that claims had not been made. But in this case, on the balance of probability, the company had made its case and HMRC were unable to disprove the case, and therefore it remained for a further hearing to quantify how much of an input tax repayment the company was entitled to receive. Finally, in this complex area of VAT, HMRC are now producing free webinars to help people with VAT. So I've included a link. Thanks very much for listening.